Happy Friday, and thank you for joining me today. Welcome to the Jeremiah Patterson Show. It is not ideal to return and sound like this, but I am congested, a little bit sick. But you know what? It's fine, because we're getting through this. We're going to push through. Let's start off with a story. He wanted to shoot them and to fortify the wall with a water-filled trench stocked with snakes and alligators. I know that is super violent and gory, but that's not all, because he also demanded that this wall be electrified with spikes that were so sharp that they could pierce human flesh. And when he insisted on shooting them, he said, "Hey guys, make sure to aim for the legs so we can slow them down a little bit." Now, you may think that this is made up. This is fabricated to the full extremity for like theatrical effect. I mean, I wish I could say that that's true, but it's not, because this actually did happen in real life back in 2019 at the White House during a 30-minute meeting in the Oval Office. Former President Donald Trump was reportedly let down and frustrated when an advisor told him, "No, Mr. President, you cannot do any of what you just said." Quote, "You are making me look like an idiot. I ran on this. It's my issue," Mr. Trump shouted, adding in a profanity as multiple officials in the room described it. End quote. That was reporting from the New York Times back then. I remember when that story came out at the time, and we reported about it here on this show. And I remember it very, very vividly, because it was just so jarring and diabolical for such things to be said and desired. I remember when that article came out, printing it out, and just reading it here live on the show for the first time. And, you know, just being, you know, not necessarily shocked, because this is something that he did campaign on, but just being like, just, you know, taken aback by the harrowing nature of the reports. I mean, for a U.S. president to demand and want to institute that type of nefarious, draconian policies, I mean, at the southern border, that was just incredulous. Donald Trump is no longer in office, but his legacy of vile and inhumane conversations and policies dreamt of just remain. That's something that does not just go away. That is something that leaves an inch, a stench. That's something that leaves a legacy behind for other people to follow. Because if one person cannot succeed at something, typically, as history shows, another will try to do the same thing, but more vigorously, and eventually they will succeed. And a couple of days ago, the Houston Chronicle reported, they published a bombshell article, an exclusive piece. This is the headline, "Texas Troopers Told to Push Children into Rio Grande, Deny Water to Migrants, Records Say." If you are not familiar with Texas, or essentially the southern area, the Rio Grande is a large river that spans from Colorado to Mexico. It is the fourth longest river in North America. And what is alleged in this report is just incredibly jarring. It is emotional and just completely horrendous. I will warn you. Here it is, quote, this is the lead from the article. "Officers working for Governor Greg Abbott's border security initiative have been ordered to push small children and nursing babies back into the Rio Grande and have been told not to give water to asylum seekers, even in extreme heat," according to an email from a Department of Public Safety trooper who described the actions as inhumane. The July 3rd account reviewed by Hearst Newspapers discloses several previously unreported incidents the trooper witnessed in Eagle Pass, where the state of Texas has strung miles of razor wire and deployed a wall of bayous in the Rio Grande. According to the email, a pregnant woman having a miscarriage was found late last month caught in the wire, doubled over in pain. A 4-year-old girl passed out from heat exhaustion after she tried to go through it and was pushed back by the Texas National Guard soldiers. A teenager broke his leg trying to navigate the water and essentially was picked up by his father. Essentially, he was carried by his father as he was trying to navigate through the water around the wire. The email, which the trooper sent to his superior, suggests that Texas has set, quote, traps of razor wire wrapped barrels in parts of the river with high water and low visibility, And it says the wire has increased the risk of drownings by forcing migrants into deeper stretches of the water. The trooper called for a series of rigorous policy changes to improve safety for migrants, including removing the barrels and revoking the directive on withholding water. End quote. So this is a campaign called Operation Lone Star. The state's nickname orchestrated by none other than the governor himself, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, apparently thinking that this is fine and nothing is wrong with this. A Texas trooper literally said in that email, quote, "We were given orders to push the people back into the water to go to Mexico." That being said, after turning 120 migrants away in extreme heat. And that's not even all of it, because let's not forget, it is summer. If you live in Texas or have just visited just in recent weeks, you know, I mean, it is, you can testify to essentially the diametrically scorching heat wave that we are under, along with various other parts of the country. And I'm not just talking like a typical summer heat. We're sitting comfortably in three digits. In New Mexico recently, it was 120 degrees for 10 days straight. Temperatures rising up to 114 degrees here in Texas daily. So that's just an estimate of what we're going through here. Now, envision yourself as an immigrant coming to this country, traveling through that extreme heat and being denied water, a basic human survival necessity. And there is no problem with giving it to them. As you can see, this Texas trooper is saying, yeah, you know, maybe we should consider revoking that directive on withholding water from the migrants. There is no problem with giving it to them. There's no law that says you cannot give water to immigrants crossing the border. That is just something that is a part of apparently Operation Lone Star. Travis Considine, the spokesperson for the Department of Public Safety, said that there is no policy against giving water to migrants. There's no issue with that, especially in sweltering heat, where even just being outside for 5 minutes guarantees that, you know, essentially you're going to be sweating profusely. The disgraced DPS director, Stephen McGraw, who once so proudly and vociferously clamored that his institution did not fail in stopping 19 kids and 2 adults from being murdered at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. He said, you know, even though there is a significant amount of information, you know, to the contrary, he said that perhaps, you know, officers should just warn migrants to cross the wire, you know, just don't cross the wire. Just kindly redirect them, you know, to other parts of entry and assist those who need medical attention. Wow. Thank you very much. The migrants are just going to, you know, expect to go to the people who are intentionally and systematically hurting them, especially when they're being ordered by the governor to do so, to carry out these actions. Great solution. According to the Border Patrol, there have been multiple reports of, quote, elevated medical attention from July 4th to July 13. This is the full email made public once again just a few days ago, and it is sickening and repulsive, but here it is. Quote, "Good afternoon, redacted. My name is blank, and I'm very proud trooper and medic for Texas DPS. I love this state and this department. I fully understand the mission of Operation Lone Star and completely agree that we need to secure the border from bad people. I want to inform you of the issues we had while working the operation as a trooper medic from 6/24/23 to 7/1/23 in Eagle Pass, Texas. On 6/25/2023, we went on patrol to see how many gates were locked on the fence line south of the casualty wire at approximately 10 o'clock. Quote, while doing so, we came across 120 people camped out along the fence line. In the group, there were several small children and babies who were nursing. The entire group was exhausted, hungry, and tired. We called the shift officer in command, and we were given orders to push the people back into the water to go to Mexico. We decided that this was not the correct thing to do, with the very real potential of exhausted people drowning. We made contact with command again and expressed our concerns, and we were given the order to tell them to go to Mexico and to get into our vehicle and drive off. After we left, members of the brush team coordinated with Border Patrol and got the people processed and taken care of. End quote. Now, as he says here, this transpired on June 25th of this year, 2023, and this took place at approximately 2200. Now, for those who are not familiar with military time, 2200 is 10 o'clock. So that's 10 p.m. when these group of migrants, 120 of them, arrive along the fence line. Several small children, including babies, were nursing that were among the people in this group. It's 10 p.m. It's dark outside. And they call up the shift officer in charge. And he tells them to just turn them around, push them back into the water, and send them back off to Mexico. The report continues, quote, on 6:30:23 at approximately 1500, so that's 3 o'clock p.m., we had a group of people at the casualty wire seeking refuge. In this group was a 4-year-old female who attempted to cross the wire and was pressed back by Texas Guard soldiers due to the orders given to them. The temperature was well over 100 degrees. Shortly thereafter, the 4-year-old girl passed out due to exhaustion, and a DPS sergeant and Texas Guard soldier extricated the patient and transported to us. We provided treatment to the unresponsive patient and transferred care to EMS. On June 30th, 2023, we had an adult male with a significant laceration in his left leg. We asked him what happened, and he stated that he had a child who was stuck on a trap in the water. He said there was a barrel that had casualty wire all over it, and his child was stuck on it. He extricated his kid, and while doing so, the barrel trap lacerated his leg. On June 30th, 2023, we had a 15-year-old male child who, while walking into the river due to the casualty wire being laid out in a manner that has forced him into the river where it is unsafe to travel. And while doing so, he broke his right leg, and his father carried him the rest of the way to the Rosetta Gate. We then splinted the leg and transferred care to EMS. On that same day, at approximately 9:30 p.m., while patrolling the casualty wire near Pecan Farms, we came across a 19-year-old female who was in obvious pain, stuck in the casualty wire, who was doubled over. We caught her out of the wire and medically assessed her. She was pregnant and was having a miscarriage. We promptly coordinated Eagle Pass EMS and transferred care. With the casualty wire running for several miles along the river in areas where it is easier for people to cross, it forces people to cross in other areas that are deeper and not safe for people carrying kids in bags. On July 1st, 2023, at approximately 4:30 p.m., we had reports from Border Patrol that there was a mother and two children struggling to cross the river. Our TMU boat search team searched for the victims and found the mother and one child who went under the water for a minute. They rescued two of the victims and started life-saving measures. They were transferred to Eagle Pass EMS and were later called deceased at the hospital. The other child is that Border Patrol was looking for was never found. In total, 5 people drowned this week in the area of Operation Lone Star. He ends off his piece, quote, I truly believe in the mission of Operation Lone Star. I believe we have stepped over a line into the inhumane. We need to operate it correctly in the eyes of God. We need to recognize that these are people who are made in the image of God, and we need to be treated as such. The casualty wire needs to provide protection to the state and provide a safe means of travel on silent land to proper collection points. The wire also needs to be manned and patrolled constantly to provide security for these families who are seeking refuge. The wire on the shore needs to be lighted at night so people can see the wire and not stumble into it as a trap. The wire and barrels in the river need to be taken out, as this is nothing but an inhumane trap in water and low visibility. Due to extreme heat, the order to not give people water needs to be immediately reversed as well. I also believe that forcing refugees to cross back into Mexico versus getting them to Border Patrol is putting them back in the hands of the cartels, where they are assaulted, robbed, and raped. This plays into advantage of the cartels, as they can charge them again to cross them over. I say all of this in due respect and deep concern. Thank you. Once again, that is an email that was released publicly. Just absolutely harrowing and just vile reports of inhumane treatment towards migrants, just egregious treatment of Texas migrants who are trying to cross the border, fleeing from disastrous war zone situations back at home. The Houston Chronicle reported, quote, "The incident details in the email come as Abbott, the governor of Texas, has stepped up efforts in recent weeks to physically bar migrants from entering the country through his Operation Lone Star initiative, escalating tensions between state and federal officials and drawing increased scrutiny from humanitarian groups who say that the state is endangering asylum seekers. The most aggressive initiatives have been targeted at Eagle Pass. The state has now deployed a wall of floating bodies bayous in the Rio Grande, which triggered complaints over the weekend from Mexico. Federal Border Patrol officials have issued internal warnings that the razor wire is preventing their agents from reaching at-risk migrants and increasing the risk of drownings in the Rio Grande. The DPS trooper expressed similar concerns, writing that the placement of the wire along the river forces people to cross in other areas that are deeper and not safe for people carrying kids in bags. The trooper's emails sheds light on a series of previously reported drownings on the river during 1 week stretch earlier this month, including a mother and at least one of her two children, who Federal Border Patrol agents spotted struggling to cross the Rio Grande River on July 1st. The governor has said that he is taking necessary steps to secure the border and accused federal officials of refusing to do so themselves. Quote, "Texas is deploying every tool and strategy to deter and repel illegal crossings between ports of entry as President Biden's dangerous open border policies entice migrants from over 150 countries to risk their lives entering the country illegally. President Biden has unleashed a chaos on the border that's unsustainable, and we have a constitutional duty to respond to this unprecedented crisis." End quote. That is a statement from Governor Greg Abbott's press secretary. Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn defended this policy yesterday, since apparently this is all fine and necessary and we're all just overreacting. In that statement, Abbott's press secretary cites that this supposedly is, you know, a constitutional duty to respond to this crisis. Well, not necessarily. I mean, the way that this is being handled is just diametrically inhumane. It is egregiously, it's just horrendous. It's unscrupulous for this type of action to be occurring. I mean, the Texas Department of Public Safety, which is in charge of installing that sharp razor wire that's been causing a multitude of injuries at the southern border, that Texas Department of Public Safety, well, apparently, I mean, they didn't necessarily do that the right way, because this is part of their Operation Lone Star, which is created and directed by the governor. But they may have skirted into some legal trouble because the way they did this. Because when they installed that razor wire, it was on private property. And the owner of that land said, no, you cannot, and I will not allow you to do this. But they went ahead and did it anyway. The owner literally said, Gosh, this is just, it's really incredulous to report on this, so forgive me for just being at a loss of words. But the owner of this private property literally said that the trooper walked up to her and said that he was going to do what he was going to do. And despite, you know, the person saying no, the owner of this land saying, no, you are not putting this on my land, they did this anyway. As far as legal recourse for that, there's a little bit of a gray area, but we can report that the Department of Justice has launched a federal investigation following this explosive report regarding the inhumane treatment of migrants. In a statement to NBC News, a DOJ spokeswoman said that the department is aware of these troubling reports and is collaborating with the Department of Homeland Security as well as other relevant agencies to assess the situation. In addition to current internal and state investigations underway, Texas state Democrats plan to launch an inquiry, and local immigrant and civil rights groups are already now calling and demanding that there be accountability here. In an NBC News article, Juan Martinez Guevara, an advocacy manager for United We Dream, the nation's largest immigrant youth-led organization, said that these allegations, quote, are the realization of years of dangerous, dehumanizing, anti-immigrant rhetoric, end quote. That is very, very much true. Exactly how we got here and ended up here in the first place in this horrid, horrid field of a gigantic amalgamation of a mess. I mean, this is not just something that just, oh, randomly happened out of nowhere. Governor Greg Abbott randomly got this idea. This was a conglomeration of rhetoric and ideas specifically recalled from the past, now being instituted as a political weapon. As political shield, described, essentially disguised through the eyes of patriotism. Oh, we're just doing this because it's a constitutional duty to secure the border. If one cannot succeed at something, another will piggyback off that plan and they will try again and they will succeed eventually. They already know how it failed the last time, so why not do it again? But, you know, hey, we know that the other guy didn't succeed at it because of what he did or said that time, but we're going to do it again and we're going to skirt some ways. We're going to get a little bit more clever with it this time, and we will succeed. Former President Donald Trump spoke about doing this and worse to migrants years ago. Talked about getting razor wires so thick that it could pierce their flesh. So sharp. Oh, also we should shoot them, but aim for the legs. Former President Donald Trump spoke about doing this years ago. And worse. It is happening now and in horrific sight. Let us not lose sight of where this came from and how it is getting worse. We've got more ahead on this story coming up next. Stay with us.
I love my new home. I always wanted a house with historic architecture, but it might be too Victorian.
Hey, gosh, interesting hemline on those pants.
Yes, I do believe they're called pants.
Pardon me.
No, pardon me. At least Geico makes bundling my home and car insurance easy. I save so much.
I have come to call upon you.
Just text me. Well, I'm heading up.
It's a ghost.
For bundling made easy, go to geico.com.
It's called self-care.
Do you think a Negro family moving here will affect the community as a whole?
Definitely.
In what way?
I think that, well, the property values will immediately go down if they are allowed to move in here in any number.
Can you give a basis for that judgment?
Can you give a basis for that judgment? And the interview goes silent. That was from an interview recorded in 1954 after Brown versus Board of Education became law of the land following the Supreme Court's decision. And the woman you hear in that audio clip in this interview is a white Southerner who disagreed with black people moving to South, and she wasn't the only one on this. The racist South was still enraged that white children would be sitting in classrooms with black kids, too. The racism lingered and developed into something incredulously heinous. You may remember the Freedom Riders as a central part of the civil rights movement. They participated in taking bus trips through the South to protest segregation on buses and other things like whites-only bathrooms and lunch counters. They took a stand against some of the most violent and essentially vile actions in human history. These activists were taunted, they were threatened, and greeted with firebombs and racial epithets. It was just horrible, but they persevered in the fight towards justice. And one of the things about that movement that is lost to history, one of the things that is uniquely, incredibly forgotten in history, is the fact that that same movement was reversed, and in the cruelest way possible. It was described as inhumane at the time. Because what the South did, what racist white Southerners did to make clear that blacks are not welcome here, we are still mad about Brown versus education, and equality cannot be attained. What they did is reverse the whole movement. In 1962, they tricked approximately 200 black people from the South into moving north. They weren't threatening about it, but relatively calm in the promise that they would simply have a better life. Things would just be better. Better housing, better jobs, better everything. You get a nice job, a beautiful residence, and best of all, the North is just so great that you'll be able to support your family better. That was BS. None of that was true. This deception campaign was a nefarious play by the South to essentially put blacks on the North's doorsteps. And when they arrived, the North would not be able to accommodate them. They would not want them. And their political and social rhetoric on the matter of race would be exposed as merely banter and hypocritical. So the people that were tasked with orchestrating this whole thing called the KKK up, and they were involved, except the KKK was not the typical Ku Klux Klan in this movement. They were doing this without the whole notoriously ludicrous role and cowardly mask. They would just show up, you know, in like suits and streetwear. They were called the Citizens Council. And the men that were in this program that were in charge of orchestrating this entire thing, they began advertising a campaign with flyers and radio commercials to lure black people in to accept this and purchase bus tickets to go ahead, get on down, moving up to North. Their primary targets in this vile and disgusting campaign were single mothers with multiple children and men who were formerly incarcerated or were under the purview of the criminal justice system. This was a deliberate and concerted effort concentrated on getting blacks out of the South in the false hope of a better life and more freedom. If you got welfare, you were a target, and others who they just didn't like or they considered were taking up the state resources. I mean, this was not just something that was local. This gained national attention. This group didn't just stop there. They got the media involved. A news worker named George Singleman from Louisiana claimed credit for this idea and gave every major newspaper the story. It appeared on the front page of the New York Times. The Boston Herald reported 14 more jobless Negroes sent north. So this continued for months and months and months. Fall ended. Spring ended, summer rolled around, still happening. Hundreds of black people being bused to New York, Idaho, California, New Hampshire, Indiana, Idaho, Minnesota, and other states and cities as well. They were all traveling to different places in the promise that they would eventually, once they got there, they would be getting a better life. They would secure a better life for their children and their families and themselves. But they were played. And they were played in the most cruel way. This was one of the most vile and disgusting stunts in American history. Here's the story of one family.
We cannot change history but we can make the history. Why can't we start making history now? My name is Betty Williams. I grew up in Herdick, Arkansas, and I'm a reverse freedom rider. When I came from the South to the North, I was about 18 years of age. My childhood was, some parts of it was very fun. Some parts of it was very sad. And when I was much smaller, I think those was my really good times. It was 13 of us siblings in all, and I am the second to the oldest. We always played like children don't get chance to play here in this city. But then my mom didn't have anything there, no education, no kind of work. It was nothing there for my mother to do.
This was a racist stunt that was about as evil as they come. But the people who orchestrated and that were in charge of this were persistent and outspoken about it and vociferous and not letting it down.
What do you suppose will be the ultimate accomplishment of this program?
The ultimate accomplishment, of course, has already been obtained, and that is to focus attention on the hypocrisy of the Northern liberals and the NAACP, Urban League, and people like that especially.
We intend to continue it until those people in the majority tell those politicians we are through with this foolishness about civil rights and things that you're using for political purposes.
People who came had only a shopping bag with perhaps one change of clothing, no money, knowing nobody. It was one of the most inhuman things that I have ever seen.
My mother was told she was going to have better everything. She was going to have a job and she was going to be able to support her family and her children was going to be able to get an education, you know, be able to go to school. You know, that alone was not the truth.
The first question that most of the arrivals asked was, where is President Kennedy? We were told that he was going to meet us at the bus.
She was actually told that. That the Kennedy was going to meet her wherever she was dropped off. And in Hyannis, she was thinking that they was going to be there. So she went to Hyannis, but I don't know how many Kennedys she got a chance to meet.
That was reporting from GBH News on the Reverse Freedom Riders there. That is a story of one of the families involved in this heinous, heinous human atrocity. It was so bad that it was stopped, and because things had just gone too far. And it was so cruel that it basically had gotten essentially forgotten. Everyone wanted to move on almost immediately after it ended, sending people to a different state and promising them a better life. You know, that's one thing, but making a promise like that to many, especially those who are disproportionately affected by their current circumstances or social status, that is just egregiously wrong and diabolical in and of itself. It's diametrically unscrupulous, essentially, you know, to mess with people like that. But if we do not learn from history, we are bound to repeat it. We are only bound to repeat what we have done in the past. And a couple months ago, the governors of Florida and Texas pulled this same stunt again, not targeting Black people, but immigrants, who have come to this country in hopes of a better life, fleeing literal war zones and death traps back at home. Yet a stunt like this was pulled here, taking advantage of their struggles, their pain, and their desperation. Migrants were put on planes that traveled to Martha's Vineyard in Virginia. Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis said that he helped essentially arrange for this. He helped arrange those flights. But the migrants that were in Texas, they were not in Florida. But he was so eager to help in securing the border that does not even pertain to his geographical jurisdiction. But The governor of Florida was easy to aid in, and I guess the governor of Texas said, why not, Ron, come along? Because his administration allocated $12 million in the state budget to help pull this off. The targets of where they would send these immigrants were liberal states, inevitably to essentially expose the hypocrisy of the left. Migrants were promised job assistance and immigration relief. This plot, this deception, has been described as inhumane and denounced by Democrats, the White House, and civil rights groups, including the NAACP, which drew this parallel between the Reverse Freedom Riders and the Martha's Vineyard migrant stunt. It was just 2 days ago, on July 19th, that a fourth bus carrying migrants from Texas to Los Angeles arrived. 41 immigrants were transported from Brownsville, Texas, to Los Angeles. The bus is believed to have been funded by Texas state officials. CNN reports that they reached out to Texas Governor Greg Abbott's office for comment. Nothing has been heard back yet. But according to this article by CNN, Abbott and Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who is also running for president, have sent thousands of migrants to Democratic-led states in protest of the Biden administration's immigration and border security efforts, which they have slammed as inadequate. The Texas governor first started sending migrants from Texas to LA on June 14th. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass has described this as a political stunt. Angelica Salas, an executive director for an immigration coalition, said, quote, "Busing migrants anywhere in the middle of a scorching summer is not kind. It is cruel and unjustified. We do not mistake these busing episodes as well-intentioned. Texas and Florida have shown a callous disregard to the human experience, especially as it relates to asylum seekers with black and brown skin." End quote. The Justice Department is already investigating this along with a state investigation here in Texas, where the probability of criminal charges have already been raised with similar investigatory efforts in the state of California as well. Back in 1962, when this happened, it was shamed on, slammed, ridiculed, and vociferously denounced. Someone called it a, quote, "cruel, merciless hoax" back in 1962. This type of stunt has shook the nation before, and its social conscience has been shaken by this type of political, vile, racist stunt before. What are we going to do to stop this now? And how can we make things better, especially as this is still actively in progress? And the governors of the states that are contributing to this, that are orchestrating and carrying out, executing these actions, these stunts, are continuing to do so. What are we going to do to make this better now? And how can we stop it? Is there potential legal recourse? Will the investigations yield some criminal charges? What can we expect from this? These are all live questions right now, and as we are following this story very, very closely here on the Jeremiah Patterson Show, we've got more to come tonight. Please do stay with us. Welcome back. There is a lot that is happening right now across the country. There is a lot that's happening just in our daily lives, but there also is a lot that's happening around the world as well. And here on the Jeremiah Patterson Show, it is not lost that I have been taking many infrequent hiatuses, but I am returning, and that's only because there is just so much to say now. There has been so much to say over the course of these months as well, but right now, when it comes to journalism, being a journalist, or just being a person who reports on the news, right now, it is the most critical time for that in history. It is the most critical time to be reporting on the news, whether you are a local TV news reporter, whether you are a national journalist, or an underrated reporter, or work for an underrated newspaper. Because a lot is happening. Democratic institutions are at risk. People are being threatened for absolutely no reason. School board meetings have turned essentially into verbal abusive war zones, racial epithets, and violent threats are just flinging around. Like, this is normal. I want to tell all of you as listeners of the Jeremiah Patterson Show to be watchful of what is going on. This is not a time to get dreadful or to get essentially get desensitized by what is happening, because a lot is happening around the country. A lot is happening around the world. Look up, look around. Things are happening and they are happening fast. And many of these things that are happening are not good. We are coming back, and there are a lot of behind the scenes projects that are focused on shining light on what is happening here. And, you know, one of those is going to have to be published tomorrow, essentially, because of, I mean, what's taking place. I mean, it's about, what, 4:17 p.m. here in Texas. But as soon as I finish recording this episode and publishing out and pushing it out, I'm probably going to have to get started on completing that special report that I'm working on for tomorrow, or at least doing some type of special investigative monologue at the top of the show, because so much is happening and it's happening very, very fast. And I wish I could say it, but I mean, well, I guess I could. I mean, it's just ridiculous, but the times that we are living through now, it's preposterous. But it's not surprising. Watch what they do. As Rachel Maddow says, watch what they do, not what they say, because they are saying lots of things, but they are also doing a lot more behind the scenes. And quite frankly, in plain sight now, with disregard for public opinion or human life. We are following a multitude of stories here on the Jeremiah Patterson Show, and there is definitely a lot to come. I may have been gone for infrequent amounts of time, but this show is definitely coming back with lots and lots of investigative pieces like we did today here on the show. The first and second segment of the show exposing what exactly is happening with these just disgusting immigration stunts and vile actions here in the United States. We'll be right back.
Whether you put down your phone to be there for your daughter, or pick up your phone to call a helpline for your roommate, when it comes to mental health, now more than ever, every action counts.
All right, that officially does it for me here on the Jeremiah Patterson Show. Two episodes complete this week. We are officially back on three segments essentially done. Two segments scripted out and complete for this show. Investigative work. That was very much fun to do. It was heart-wrenching to record, but this stuff needs to get out there. People need to be knowing what's happening. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Jeremiah Patterson Show. Have a great day. Remember to stay positive and inspired, and I will see you again tomorrow.